All right, well, good morning. Welcome, y'all who are here on the last Sunday of 2019 and the last Sunday of the decade. Y'all excited about that? Starting a new decade tomorrow, this next week? Well, I'm glad to have you here. My name is Brian. For those of you who don't know me, I got like one person that's excited. Everyone else, they're not so sure. Another decade has rolled by, indeed. Well, today, if you pull out your Bibles, we're going to dive into God's Word to Colossians chapter 3. If you have a Bible or Bible app, you can follow along in that YouVersion Bible app as well. If you got one of those phones and you want to pull it out, you can do that. And we'll talk through that in just a few minutes as well. But I want to encourage you, get into the Word in 2020. But today is the day I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about tomorrow. I don't want to talk about next year, which is only a couple days away. I don't want to talk about next decade, which is also just a couple days away. I want to talk about today, because today is the day that the Lord has given us. Amen? God has given you today to spend well, to spend wisely, and today is a gift. And so before we talk about anything else, I just want to say that to somebody today. Today is a gift given to you by God, and what you do with today is your gift to Him. What you do today either will glorify God and honor God or not, but God has given you a gift of today. And so today is the day I want to talk about. Again, I don't want to talk about tomorrow, because tomorrow's a fantasy, isn't it? We say this all the time. We say, tomorrow I'll do this. Tomorrow I'll get that done. Tomorrow I'll start my diet, right? Tomorrow I'll start reading my Bible. Tomorrow is a day that never comes, because you know what happens when we wake up? It's today again. It's not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. And so with this idea, this mind that I'll do it tomorrow, today I want to talk about what we do with today. And I love planning. I love strategizing. I love dreaming about the future. But there's something important about being present in the day that today is and doing what God has called me to do today, not tomorrow. And so I want to read this passage, a refrain that's repeated throughout the book of Hebrews. Y'all are we're going to get all over the scripture today, but I want to read the Hebrews chapter 3, and it says this to the people of God. It says it here and elsewhere, but it says this. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, say today.
Today.
Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, would speak that to you today. If you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. See, life is not about tomorrow. It's about today and what I do with the moments that are right in front of me, right here and right now. And so I want to pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts today as we open His living and active word. And more than that, my prayer is that our hearts would be soft to receive from God. Would you bow your heads as we pray over our time together? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You have made. Today, I pray that we would be able to receive all that You have for us. Lord, we open our hearts to hear. We open our ears to hear and our eyes to see, and we pray, Father, that You would speak to us through Your living and active word, and that our hearts would be soft to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, open it up with me to Colossians chapter 3. I want to read a few verses today out of this chapter, talking about something new, putting on our new self. And it says this in Colossians 3:1. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So the Bible encourages us and exhorts us to seek the things that are above. And this is a mindset that we have to think about, that as we live our life, not above, we live life down here on earth, right? We live life on earth with our feet planted on the ground. And as we do so, God encourages us to seek the things that are above. In other words, to seek the things of godliness. That this is a pursuit that must be ours every single day that we live life on this earth, as long as we call it today, that we would live with this pursuit and this active faith that says, God, I want to seek the things that are above and seek the things that are above me. There's so many things in this world we can set our minds to, isn't there? I don't know if you've noticed, but we've got these little devices in our pockets called cell phones, and there's hundreds of distractions, right? Just pick one of them. Pick Facebook, pick Instagram, pick Twitter. Doesn't matter. Pick a social media network. We could spend all of our time worried about, thinking about the things of worldly desires. But God says that we should seek the things that are above. And the main point this morning, if you're taking notes and filling in those blanks on that sheet, the big idea today is this: to grow in our faith, we must actively and persistently seek God and the things of godliness each and every day. That to grow in our faith and our pursuit of God, we have to be active. There's nothing true about a faith that's passive. God says, I want you to be active in your pursuit of me. There's something important about setting our mind on the things that are above and seeking the things that are above. And so to grow in our faith, we have to be active and persistent. That means we don't quit when things get tired. Some of y'all, I have this conversation regularly about maybe reading the Bible, maybe coming to church, maybe something or other, a spiritual discipline. They say, I was doing real well for a while, then I just got tired. And so there's something important about determining within our heart that I'm gonna be a person that actively and purposefully and persistently seeks God. Some of y'all getting tired just hearing those words. I can see it on your face. It's all right. I'm praying that the Lord would give you a new wave of energy in your pursuit of him. But seeking is not the same as browsing. Some of y'all love to do this. You love to go browsing. Anyone like to go browsing in the stores? You just wander around. Oh, look at that. Oh, that's really nice. And you just kind of wander around. There's no commitment. You're just kind of looking. I'm just looking. The clerk will come and say, can I help you? No, I'm just looking. Right? And some of us have this sort of attitude when it comes to the things of God. I'll just browse. I'll just open up my Bible and just browse. See if there's anything that interests me, right? I'm just browsing. But God says that seeking is not browsing. Seeking is not passive. It's active. I don't just browse my way into faith. I pursue faith. I don't just browse my way into the things of godliness. I pursue godliness. I set my mind on the things of heaven. I think about those things actively with all that I do. See, it says, set your minds on the things of God. Verse 2 says that, set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. And I want to talk about a word that's been co-opted by Eastern religion and by our world in a big way. And so sometimes we're afraid to even use this word, and it's this word, meditate. See, sometimes we're afraid to use that word because it's got so much baggage in our cultural paradigm of what it means, But God isn't afraid to talk about meditating. He's saying that there's something important about meditating on the things of God, that it's kind of like we marinate in it. Some of y'all like to cook. You know that when you marinate something, it's good, right? You take that turkey that's dry and you brine it, you marinate it in all those spices, all that salt water, and it's good. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Karen, you're hungry too. I could tell. But we marinate something that makes it better. It infuses it with flavor. And God says you must meditate on the things of God, because when I soak in it, when I sit in it, when I rest in it, when I wrestle with it, when I allow those words to just roll around in my mind and I think deeply, God, what does it mean? And how should I live? What should I do as a result of it? When I'll just marinate on God's word, man, it changes things. It changes things. Our faith is no longer superficial and shallow. It goes deep. And God says, I want you to have a deep faith. It says, set your minds on the things of God, that we would meditate on his word. There's something powerful that happens when we do that. God's able to do something great in us. See, it's important that we have the right frame of view and understand that there is a battlefield for our minds. And there is a fight, a great fight for our minds. And the world will get our attention. We call it the world, but the Bible talks about the enemy of our soul whose desire is to steal, kill, and destroy the work of God and the blessings that God has for you through the relationship with God. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. I love what C.S. Lewis says. If you're not familiar with C.S. Lewis, he wrote The Chronicles of Narnia and many other great tales. They're great fiction works that tell greater stories of heroism and bravery and courage and of God. But he was asked why he wrote those kind of books, and he said, since it's so likely that children will meet cruel enemies, let them at least have heard of brave knights and heroic courage. He continues and says, otherwise, you're making their destiny not brighter, but darker. And his thesis was this, that we're going to send our kids out into the world where there will be wickedness, there will be evil, there will be darkness. Let them at least have heard of the things of light. Let them at least have heard of the things of God. And I would frame that same question and that frame, same proposition to you, that you will face the things of darkness. And God says, I want to fill you up and set you up with, have this understanding that there is a God who brings light to the darkness, who brings healing to the brokenness, who brings restoration to that which is destroyed. And I want you to have that frame of reference. See, we must not shrink back from the things that come at us, but we also have to recognize that there is a battlefield for our minds. And God says, I want you to set your minds on the things that are above, because the things below can get us distracted and get us off track. So he says, meditate on those things that are above. Psalm 1:1-2, I've read this passage many times to y'all. Some of y'all are familiar with it. But Psalm 1 gives us this idea of meditation, of meditating on the things of God. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, into God's word. It says, on his law he meditates day and night. Say day and night. See, God says there's something important about having his word meditated, that we think deeply on the things of God, not just one day a week. We don't just go to church and just dip that in the marinade and pull it out, we're done. God says day and night, that we would be continually ruminating and thinking deeply on the things of God, that we would think about those things and marinate on them. God says that that sort of life is a life that's marked by fruitfulness. God says that sort of life is a life that isn't destroyed when darkness comes, when a drought comes by, because it's got deep roots that go into that living water that will sustain it no matter what season, no matter what happens on the outside. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants your life to be like that. See, my prayer, if I could be so bold, for our church family as we enter into 2020, my prayer for you, again, we're talking about today, but I want to talk about what we would do every day of this next year. My prayer is that we would be a people of just two prayers. I heard these prayers by a man who trusted God at our conference. In fact, we were just announcing our identity conference that's coming up. Jamie Winship gave me these two prayers. I love them because they encapsulate what we're called to do. He said, what would it be like if every day and every moment and every decision point we would say these two questions? God, what do you want me to know? God, what do you want me to do? And I believe those prayers will radically transform everything that we do, that if we will come to each day, we'll come to God's word and open his word and say, God, what do you want me to know today? What's the one thing that you want me to know today? And then as a result of that, God, what would I do? What can I do as a result of it? How can I learn, have an observation about the things of God, and how can I apply it? How can I live changed as a result of it? I believe those two questions, those two prayers are powerful as we come to God's word, and even as we come to every moment, every decision, every stopping point along the road of life, that we would ask those questions. God, what do I need to know and what do I need to do? See, the Bible tells us in the scripture that we read, it says, for you have died. Our old life is over. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I want you to think about that for a second. God says your life is hidden with Christ in God. We hear phrases like that, and sometimes we don't understand it, do we? Like, what does that mean? My life is hidden with Christ in God. When I was a kid, I didn't really like reading all that much. I'll just be telling the truth on myself. I didn't like to read, but I loved, and I'm going to fib, I'm going to tell on myself. My mom is probably watching, so I'll tell. Hi, Mom. My mom loved to read, and she loved to use dollar bills inside her books as bookmarks. But she didn't just use dollar bills. Sometimes there'd be a $20 bill. Once or twice I saw a $100 bill in there. So I'd just go reading. I'd go reading. I'd be flipping through. And for the purpose of this illustration, I got a dollar bill, all right? Because that's what I got. But I'd flip through the pages and I'd look at the book on the outside and I'd see just a book, a boring book. This isn't a boring book. This is a beautiful book. This is God's word. But I'd see a book and I'd open it up and I'd see hidden inside there that dollar bill. And God says, I want your life to be hidden in Christ. See, that dollar bill is in here, but I don't see it anymore. It's still got value. It's still got purpose. It's still got meaning, but it's hidden in this book. It's hidden in Christ. And God says, I want your life to be hidden in Christ, that when people look at you, they wouldn't see you, they'd see me. That's what it means to be reflectors, image bearers of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God says, the old way of life, the old way of living that you had, it's dead. It's over. It's finished. Today is a new day. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I want you to live your life hidden with Christ in God. There's something powerful about that. See, there's a spiritual principle that's at work in our scripture here today. It talks about two things. It talks about killing our old ways and putting on something new. And I want to talk about those two things because there's something powerful that takes place when we'll understand it. There's something of dying and something of living. There's something of taking off and something of putting on. And God says, I want you to take off that old way of living, that old way of thinking, that old way of being. That way that you were before, you were hidden in Christ, in God. And God says, I want you to put on something new. So there's two parts to this process. There's a dying and a living. And as we approach the dawn of a new decade, let us with clear vision set our minds on the things of God and put to death that which is not useful for building up our faith. He continues, Colossians 3, I'm going to read actually verses 5 through 10, and he tells us specifically, he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Continues in verse 9, it says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. See, there is a spiritual imperative that we are active in this portion of our faith, that we are active in taking off the old ways and putting on the new, that we are to take those things off and put on something new, that we lay aside those things that distract us. And this is where I can't tell you, I can't give you an exhaustive list, because this is something that we must ask the Holy Spirit of God to reveal to our hearts. See, because the things that distract you from God don't distract me. The things that distract you from God don't distract your neighbor or your friend or your spouse. But there are things that will draw us away from Christ. They'll draw us away from our pursuit of God. And we must ask the Lord, God, what are those things that I need to leave behind in the day that is called today? I don't want to bring them to today, much less into tomorrow, much less into next year. So God, what are the things that I need to leave with yesterday and not even bring into today? What are those things? Hebrews 12 gives us this beautiful picture of a race and a runner. And he says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Say every weight. Let's say it again. Say every weight. Every weight. Let's lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the beginner and finisher of our faith. There's this idea, this imperative, that there's something powerful that takes place when we will lay aside those things that hinder us. Some of y'all are running through the race of life, but you got weights on your ankles. Anyone ever have those ankle weights back in the 90s when they were popular? They were like workout. I had a pair of those, and I'd walk around with them. Woo, I'm so strong. And then I'd take them off, and I'd run. I'd be like the Flash. I was super fast. At least I thought I was. No, I probably wasn't very fast, but I felt faster because I got the weight off. And there's this expression, get the lead out. You ever hear that expression? Some of y'all dads and mamas told you that back in the day. And get the lead out means get the lead out of your feet. That means get moving, right? Take the weight off your feet so you can move quicker. And I believe the Lord would say to somebody in the house, you got to get the lead out. You got to tear off those distractions, those things that slow you down. Because here's what happens. Sometimes we try and carry all that junk, all that baggage, all that stuff from yesterday into today. And God says, that old way is dead. but you're still carrying it around. And as a result, when you try and run the race that God has for your life, you're like, it's hard. I got a lot of weight, right? You ever try and go backpacking or go somewhere with a big old backpack or a big old weight on you? You know it's harder to go when you got weight. God says, I want you to lay those things aside. I want you to leave those in yesterday and move with purpose and lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely and run with endurance the race that is set before you. See, sometimes in this Christian way, this Christian walk, we focus just on this part. Run your race, we say. Keep moving forward. Pursue God. And that's an important part of it. But if we don't do this first part, if we don't take off the weight and lay aside those things of our sinful nature, lay aside those wrong ways of thinking, lay those things aside, all those weights, what happens is we find ourselves running and we get tired. And God says you need to have both. If you have a life that's all just about laying aside, you'll be legalistic and you'll never go anywhere and you'll never pursue God, but your life will have no weight on it. And on the other side, we can't just run without laying those things aside. Otherwise, we'll be hypocritical. We won't be following the ways of God. God says we have to have both. We have to lay aside the things of old, put them to death, therefore, and run our race. It's both and. So we're supposed to put some things to death. A couple things that we're supposed to put to death. The first is this. We've got to put to death wrong ways of thinking. Because sometimes we have the wrong perspective about how to do life. Sometimes we come to the wrong conclusions. But the Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See, this is the fascinating thing for me. I love to just, I'm a student of medicine in some ways. I love to learn about the mind. And one of the things I'm fascinated with is just how little we understand about the human brain. Neurologists, they have an understanding, you know, this part of the brain, if we cut it out, they stop doing this thing. Right? So we have a general idea of how the brain works, but we don't understand it. Only the maker of it understands it completely. But we understand this idea that there are certain things, and we call these neuropathways, where we understand that when I learn a process, I was just watching a fascinating video about this recently, that when we learn how to ride a bike, for example, think about how complicated it is to ride a bicycle. I mean, you've got one foot pushing on a pedal, the other foot pulling, right? And you got to keep doing this reciprocal motion over and over again, all the while balancing, right? Trying to balance and keep from falling to the left or to the right. All the while trying to look where you're going and process, there's an obstacle in front of me, my brother's in front of me, I gotta turn, and then I gotta use my arms to turn, and I gotta use my body. There's like a million things going on. And so our brain is amazing at doing this. And after a while, after we learn how to ride a bike, that's why they say it's just like riding a bike, right? Because once we learn how to do it, we just know how to do it. I don't have to think about it. I can just ride, and I'm talking to my cell phone now, right? You know, I'm having a conversation, I don't do that. Don't talk on your cell phone while riding your bicycle. But we can do those things so easily. But the opposite is also true. Sometimes we get ourselves into a rut. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a habit. That's why some of us have a difficulty quitting something. That's why I talk with people trying to quit smoking or trying to give up alcohol or other addictive substances. And there's these pathways, there's ruts that have been formed in our brains. But God has given us this example, and he said that we can be transformed by the renewing of what? Our mind. This has been in the scripture for years and years, and doctors are finally figuring this out, that that's actually what happens. It's amazing that we can reprogram our brains. In fact, there's a fascinating study I read a couple of years ago about how prayer affected parts of the human brain, and they're like, it's amazing. The brains are like transforming. I'm like, yeah, I know. God told us that. I'm glad that you're figuring it out and you have a way to measure it, but the reality is God says that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind. How do we renew our mind? We meditate on the things of God. We set our mind on the things of God. We think deeply about the things of God. See, we've got to change our wrong ways of thinking, and sometimes the way to do that is simply just to read God's word and to hear what he has to say. But some things we've got to put to death as well, not just our wrong ways of thinking, but sometimes it's a debt that's owed to us. And we call that unforgiveness. I actually looked that word up. I was surprised to find that the word unforgiveness isn't found in the dictionary. I haven't forgiven them yet for that. But it's not in there. But this idea of unforgiveness, see, we may put to death those things in us, those offenses towards others, so we can receive the life and healing that God has for us. I could talk a lot about unforgiveness, but I believe that for some of us, today is the day that we need to lay aside the offenses and the debt that's owed to us by somebody else. The third thing we must put to death are the lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And I admit, as I walk into this, read this passage, I'm walking in dangerous territory. But God says this is important. 1 John 2 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." So this is a prayer that I believe we all must ask every day that is called today, and that's every day. God, what are the things that are catching my eye? What are those things that are distracting me from my pursuit of you? What are those things that when I want to draw near to you, my eye is caught like squirrel? There's a metaphorical squirrel that draws my attention and captivates my heart with the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. God, where are those areas in my life that are pulling me from my pursuit of you? Help me to lay them down. We might call those things time wasters. We might call them a number of things, but God, what are those things that I need to put to death in my life in this day called today? And then it gives us an idea that we must put something on. We take off those distractions, and then we've got to put something on. And here's a couple things I want to challenge and encourage you with. I want to challenge you to put on life-giving habits that will draw your mind heavenward. See, the scripture today says that we are to set our minds on the things that are above. And some of us have to cultivate some life-giving habits. We've cultivated over a lifetime some life-killing, life-sucking habits. We've got to cultivate some life-giving habits. One, and probably the most particular that I want to talk to you about, is a fresh habit of reading God's word. Some of y'all are wondering why I keep pounding this drum and banging this drum, and I've talked about getting into God's word, I feel like, repeatedly, emphatically, over the last many years. But there's something that I know to be true, that if we'll pursue God and we'll open his word, it's amazing. This amazing thing happens. He speaks to us. He gives us wisdom for today and wisdom for tomorrow. He equips us for everything we need so that we'll be ready for everything that God has prepared for us. It's amazing as we open up God's word. And some of you are like, well, I don't need a program for that. I'll just read my Bible. But the reality is you won't. If we don't build a structure, if we don't put a program in order, just like your workout routine. Did you finish 2019 working out as much as you said? Sorry, I touched the hot stove. Start today. It's not about a plan, but you need a plan. Sometimes we wonder why our faith ain't growing. Our faith is right where it was last year. And I said, you have a plan to grow your faith today. I'll start it next week, Pastor. I'll start it tomorrow. Again, tomorrow doesn't ever come. Next week is always a week away, right? It's always a day away. Today is today. So start today. See, we need to have a plan. In fact, I want to encourage you. We've created this plan for years and years. We've had it for a long time. Actually, it was created by Wayne Cordero at Oahu. But you can put that slide on the screen, Josh. But we are doing this life journal reading plan. And I want to encourage you, challenge you, equip you. In fact, if you have your phones, you can pull out your phones right now. Your pastor's saying, pull out your phone at church. You can go to this website, newheart.us/Bible. And there is a group Bible reading plan that will put us all on the same day. It'll put us all in the same reading plan. And this doesn't start until Tuesday, okay? But you can start reading today. But I want to challenge you to join our journal plan. You guys all got in your notes today, that Bible reading plan. Put it in your Bible. Dust it off. Find where it is in the bookshelf. Pull it out. Put it in there. And I want to encourage you to read. And I'll just tell you something. The great thing about this Life Journal reading plan on the YouVersion app, if you don't have it, you can download it right from that link. The thing about it that I love is that some of y'all are like, I can't read very well. I hate reading. Well, that'll read it to you. All right, so there's no excuses. Some of y'all are like, I don't like to read. Well, it'll read it to you. Just press the play button and it reads it for you. It's amazing. Now, and you can even speed it up, read it faster, read it slower if you want to. I mean, you can do all kinds of cool stuff. You have your own little butler that will read the Bible to you. So there's no excuses. All right? Some of y'all are like, I need a butler this year. That's your butler right there. He'll read you the Bible every day. But I want to challenge you, get into God's word every single day. Get into God's word every single day. And some of y'all are going to struggle, and some of y'all are going to find days where you're tired or you're sick or you forget. Start today. Don't start tomorrow. Don't start yesterday because you can't go back. Start today. And open up God's word and see what he does and ask those questions. God, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? Those two things, I think, will change everything if we'll come to God's word and come with an open heart and say, God, what do you want me to know today? Do you want me to change the way I've thought about something? Maybe for 20 years, maybe for 30 years, maybe for longer. God, I've had this idea, this thing in my mind, but God, what do you want me to know today? And then as a result, as I walk around that day thinking about the things of God, marinating on the scripture that God has put in my heart, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to love my neighbor as myself today? Because that's the scripture that stood out to me this morning. God, how would I do that? How can I do that at work, in the parking lot, when that guy tries to take my parking spot? How do I treat him and love him the way I love myself? Okay, I'm meddling now. But God, how do we do those things? So I want to encourage you, get into God's word, not tomorrow, today. You can join us in this reading plan. It's going to be an awesome thing. But more than just a life-giving habit of God's word, that we'd also have a life-giving habit of pursuing God through prayer. And I wish I had more time to spend with you. We're almost out of time, but I want to challenge you to be talking with God in this next season. Not this next season. Let me take it back. Talk with God today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Talk with God today. And some of y'all, need to cultivate a discipline, a spiritual discipline for how you can talk with God regularly. Some of y'all are just like, I pray when I think about it. Which means when the guy cuts me off on the free, I say, oh God, help me, right? But God says, I want you to talk to me day in and day out. For some of you, that might mean coming up with a prayer plan. I've seen one guy that does this. He actually has 3x5 cards with the important people in his life, maybe his spouse, maybe his child, and he writes one on there, his career, his job, the different areas of his life. And one day he'll take a card with him all day long and he'll pray over it. And on it, he's got a verse that he's praying over his marriage. And on another one, he's got a word he's praying over his son. And on another, he's got maybe patience is written on his work card so he can have patience when he goes to work. And each day of the week, he's praying over one of those things. I just want to challenge you. It doesn't matter what your system is. But cultivate a life-giving habit of getting into God's word and praying. And I'm not going to give you all the instructions on how to do all of this stuff, but here's the thing. We have a God who wants to teach us. We have a God that wants to equip us, but we have to come up with a plan, and we got to start it, not tomorrow. When?
Today.
Good. You got it. I'm going to read this next verse as our worship team comes forward. Now, I want to read Romans 13, verse 14, and it says this. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Church, my prayer is that this day would be a new day for you. That as we do stand on the eve, a couple days before a brand new year and a brand new decade, we stand on the day called today. And today is the day that the Lord has given us to make a difference with our lives. I can't make a difference with my life tomorrow. I can't make a difference with my life yesterday. I have today. Today is the day that the Lord has given us. So let us rejoice. Let us be glad in it. And let us live our lives with purpose, saying, God, what is the race that you've set for my feet for today? God, what is it that you would have me do with my life and my gifts, my talents, my abilities today? And yes, let's plan for tomorrow. Let's think about the days ahead and how we can pave ourselves on roadways towards godliness and move our lives in the direction that God is calling us. But let us never forget today. For today is the day that God has given us to pursue him. And so I want to challenge and encourage you as we do step on this, that to grow in your faith, you've got to actively pursue. persistently seek God's face. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you are here in the house today, that as we pursue you, God, you are found by us, that you don't play hide and seek. God, what you've spoken to your through your word today, as you've reminded us to set our minds on the things above, the things of heaven, God, we pray for the boldness to act on your word, to do what you called us to do. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be a people with active faith. God, we thank you for today. God, you've given us today. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us, but today is what you've given us right now. And God, I ask you to help us to grow up into the sort of people that you want us to be. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you to lead us today. God, may we not be people that just browse the things of God. May we be people who dive deep into the things of God. God, there's so many distractions in our world. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. And God, I pray for each and every soul here today. Holy Spirit, that you reveal to us areas that we need to put to death in our own lives. Maybe it's a habit that we had to lay down. Maybe there's an area of unforgiveness that we need to let go. God, maybe there's some other weight that's clinging to us. Maybe we haven't received your grace fully to cover an area of our lives. Help us to lay wrong ways of thinking down today in Jesus' name. God, help us to forgive those who have offended us and hurt us, just as you've forgiven us when we offended you and hurt you. God, help us to put to death the desires of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, the pride of life that exists in our own lives. God, I pray that you'd help each one of us to cultivate healthy, life-giving habits today. Start the process not tomorrow, but today. God, I pray over every man, woman, and child in this room today that you'd give us a new hunger for the things of God, for the Word of God. Give us a new thirst for that living water that only you provide, that we might be drawn to you. God, may we seek you with a new level of fervor and abandon this year, this moment, this day. Light that fire within us, Lord God. I pray for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit on your people today. Fill us with that desire, that heavenly hunger today, we pray. Perhaps you're here today with every head still bowed and eyes still closed, and you've never begun that process of pursuing God. You've never received his free gift of grace, and you've never surrendered your life to the care and control of Jesus Christ. Before we leave this place today, before we enter into a new year and a new day, and even walk out of this moment, I want to give you an opportunity, if that's you today, and you've never made that decision, to put your hope and trust in Jesus. God wants you to know that you'll be forever with him, never separated again from him. The Bible says in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so in just a moment, with every head bowed and eye closed, in prayer, perhaps just for you, I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision, to put your trust and hope in him. If you've never made that decision to do that, or maybe you did a long time ago and you wandered far from God, today's your day of new beginnings. If that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you just lift up your hand so I can agree with you in prayer? Say, that's me. I want to receive that love of God today. Anyone in the house today, you say, that's me. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else, you say, that's me today. Church, can we pray this prayer with those who may be praying it for the first time? Repeat after me. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins in my place. I thank you that you were raised to life and you give me the promise of eternal life. I ask you into my life and heart. I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate today? Come on.